Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're damn right we start right now. It's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Fig, was that you that put that computer love in the background there?
No, I don't think so.
Shout out to Ben. I heard that. I like that. If there's one thing I can promise for today's show that will differ from Payne and Pendergast in the morning before us, significantly fewer religious references. I can tell you that for certain. That is not where we're going today. Where we will start, however, is I will remind you that we always got the Odyssey app available for you. We got the YouTube, we got the Twitch, all those things are popping. I see y'all going back and forth talking in there. We appreciate that. Plus, you can always text in 713-572-4610. And please do that right now. It's right off the top. One of the questions that I've been asking myself and that I've been asking kind of people around me, and I'd like to ask you, John,
yes, sir.
You, Figgy, and you, the dear listener, did this game shift how you feel about the Texans' ceiling at all? Again, 713-572-4610. Because this is a team that came in and they beat the Colts, mm-hmm. who we have looked at as maybe not that good of a team, not even as good of a team as we probably were envisioning when we walked into the season.
Mm-hmm.
They beat the Bears. Close, a team that it does seem like you probably should have handled up on a lot better. And obviously understanding that they did not play their best game, but that is the case, right? And then you come out and you got handled by a Minnesota Vikings mm-hmm. team that you probably should have been able to compete with, but you simply didn't, right? And we understand the reasons why, but those are the results in results-oriented business. And mm-hmm. with that, all that being the case, does that shift the way that you view the ceiling on this team after a preseason, a training camp of people gushing over this Texas team and putting them as Super Bowl contenders? Has that shifted at all after this game?
Today, as we sit here, September 24th, 10:03 a.m., I don't see how it couldn't have. I honestly don't. That's not to say they can't get there. That's not to say they won't get there. It's to say that based on what we have seen, and to me, it's not just Sunday. I think that's where it really you really have to reach this conclusion of, all right, we got to recalibrate here. We got to recalibrate, and they got to get a lot better. Because what it did for me is Sunday kind of put an emphasis on those first two games that you just referenced. Like, those were average to bad teams.
Yeah.
And we were sitting here going, hey, they showed that grit. They showed that, that ingredient that, helped them win the games. I think it kind of put a focus on those two games as like, they weren't really a lot better than those two teams.
They played down to their competition.
Or did they?
Or is that okay?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm getting where you're laying down now.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is Sunday, when you look at it in the context of also the first two games of the season, you're like, okay, maybe they're just not where we thought they should be at this point in the season. So, yeah, today as we sit here, you got to recalibrate a little bit.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, that is what I've been going back and forth. And I did use the word ceiling intentionally here because ultimately we know that week three is not a final product by any means, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think people have been using to console themselves in some ways after the loss in Minnesota was the fact that good teams, great teams even, have had losses, even bad losses during the course
Absolutely.
Of this, man. It's football. It's the reason why there is truth in the cliche that we constantly hear of any given Sunday, and now you have to add Monday and Thursday and Saturday. But any given Sunday, you can lose a football game because they're getting paid too, because of the NFL, so on and so forth. But, I mean, we're seeing people text in, and I'm seeing bounces back and forth. But, yeah, there's some people that are like, yeah, absolutely shifted what they perceive to be the ceiling. A true Super Bowl contender at least makes it somewhat close in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my spin on that particular one, and I mentioned this when we were talking about when you were talking about passing thoughts, one of the things I noticed in my notes is Super Bowl contenders don't hurt themselves like this. And that's the thing that really hit me was just details. I mean, look, you've got to be able to keep yourself largely clean. I'm not expecting you to be perfect because perfection is, it's unfair expectation. We're talking about human beings and all these things. Plus, you're talking about a mass of human beings all trying to work in unison, right? Trying to like a Swiss arm or a Swiss watch, right? Like all these pieces have to work together. And that's not the easiest thing to accomplish, especially early on with the changes that we had at CBA, all that, right?
Yeah.
But this feels far off, right? Mm-hmm. Like the way that particularly this game went with all of the issues that happened with penalties and those types of things. And then you put on top of that, you're getting outcoached.
Yeah.
In that instance, those are the things that made me, that gave me pause. Even if my, I still think they can get to that ceiling that I had for them. And I did feel a little vindicated in being it's early guy.
Yeah.
But those are the things that make me go, huh, mm-hmm. Okay, where are you getting to? Because Bobby Slowick conversations are popping up. Do you have interior problems dealing with when you get an elite a wide receiver mm-hmm. messing with the middle of your like, I think those questions popped up to a point where I'm like, I can't in good conscience be like, this is a Super Bowl contender right now until they start showing me something.
No, you just said, you think they could still get there? I think they will still get there. I think they do have the talent is unquestioned, but I think things need to change and adjustments need to be made. So right now, I'm looking at those first two games and I'm like, they weren't just a fluke occurrence. They weren't just a slow start. New faces, new teammates getting together. They were a team that just wasn't as good, that was exposed against Minnesota. So it wasn't Sunday that did it. It's it's the whole breadth of the season so far, where you're like, all right, you put that all into context, and they're not there yet. But you're right. When they face a big-time receiver, and they will, you know, that needs to be different and it needs to change. Offensive line, we're going to address that today. I think it may need to be changed. Or certainly
not
better.
Not fixed, changed is the word that you used there. Okay.
Changed and certainly better. I think, and we're going to get to this today as well. I think C.J. Stroud needs to have more Josh Allen in him than who's a good, really good, you know, let's say a good, you know, manager of a game that's a really good quarterback. You know, I can't think of an example right now.
Who is the go-to game manager in the league right now? Hold on.
That's good. You know, that someone like that. Is it Kirk Cousins? I don't know. Someone like that.
Kirk's a good answer. Yeah, text in 713-572-4610.
A really good manager that doesn't necessarily put the team on his back.
Getting our Cam Newton on now.
Who is your go-to game manager quarterback?
Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy? Ah, yeah.
You know
Brock
what?
Purdy.
Yeah. Although he looked good Sunday. We didn't really get to it yesterday. Like, he was trying to carry that team on his back. He was making some
plays. He's a game manager.
Yeah, well, definitely for the most part. So what I'm saying is, I think they can get there.
No, Tommy Dang on the YouTube. Stroud is not being downgraded to a game manager. All right, let's press pause real quick and clean this up.
I'm saying he needs to be more Josh Allen and less what we've seen the first 3 weeks.
Have he been playing like a game manager?
No,
though?
But he hasn't been taking over. He hasn't been, you know, dealing. Like we saw last night. Hell, we saw it from Jaden Daniels.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Buddy, did we see it from Jaden Daniels? One of the things that happens for me is, like, you know, you see a player play so well that they kind of get out of their shoes a little bit. And this was actually inspired by Austin Rivers, mm-hmm. former Houston Rocket at one point. Where I get offended, like, who the hell do you think you are?
Yeah.
And I very much had a, who the hell do you think you are, Jaden Daniels?
Well,
apparently he might be that guy, right? Yeah. Whoever that is. But yeah, back to the question at hand.
Yeah. So they can get there. I think they will get there. But this is what they are right now. Like, they are not an elite team. They're just not. And it's not just based on Sunday. That's my point.
Yeah. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and I mean, more things coming in, right? The idea of 3-4-6, this game didn't change my perspective. I think it gave them clarity on how they need to play. Still think AFC Championship and beyond is the expectation. Okay, cool. 8-3-2, do the Texans look better last year to this year? Defense looks better, but the offense seems like it needs work. One of the things in that regard that I think about is the offensive line is not just just generally, the inability to run the football, mm-hmm. right? Like, obviously, week two gave me some of this, but seeing it again in week three,
yeah.
especially against a Minnesota Vikings team that was content to probably let you run the football, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when it came to defensive focuses, their focus was clearly more on stopping the pass and making life hell mm-hmm. on C.J. Stroud. Now, I understand you did not have Joe Mixon, you did not have Damian Pierce, right? That is understood. But even with Cam Akers in there, there was, and I read the stat a few times. You know what? Let me go ahead and do my damnedest to pull this up one more again for you, right? So we could get this on wax, right? But the idea that the Texans ground game struggled to create space for their running backs, the Vikings contacted ball carriers behind the line of scrimmage on 8 of 11 design runs.
Yeah.
Right? The idea that you are not capable of running the football, hell, it's just the inverse of all the things we were talking about after week one, right? Like the idea, and we said this tentatively, if they were capable of, you know, run the ball that way, now you could put games away, right? Now you can, when teams are expecting, you know, one thing, you can go to another, right? Now you are balanced enough to where teams mm-hmm. can't lock in on all these things. When you don't have the run, all of those things come back into play, right? Yeah, now, absolutely. are you capable of closing out games? We haven't even been in the place to, the game mm-hmm. scripts to be able to have that conversation, but now people can lock in on Nico, and now you're forcing yourself to do different things. Now people can pin their ears back and get you in third and long situations, and then go and get after your quarterback. Like all of those things come in, and it feels like that is like foundationally an error. Not just that they haven't been running the ball well, that they might not be capable of running the ball in a consistent way, or even in an average way, which I think is what we were hoping for at the very least.
And oh, by the way, they need to coach better. Like they need to have better coaching. That's not, again, you know, so, you know, when you say these things, people are like, oh, he thinks this coaching staff stinks. No, they need to improve. We're talking about adjustments, you know, well, you know, that they need to do.
Adjustment might be the word.
The coaching needs to be better than what they've showed. Again, in all three games, not just in Sunday. Sunday highlighted it, particularly, you know, defensively. You mentioned, you know, how they dealt with Justin Jefferson. But also, like, look, some of these play calls and such that that Bobby Slowick was doing, that the offensive line was not adjusting to, you know, blocking, using Cade Stover to block an end, and all those, like, it's all these things need to be something of a recalibration, a reset.
Yeah. So I mean, those are some of the things that have kind of, again, I shifted some of the perspective that I had after this game. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that there's, and we should have known, like, we all know this, like, this, mm-hmm. there's not going to be a perfect start to the season necessarily, and there's going to be some issues that pop up. I think some of the things that were really frustrating is, as you mentioned, like, the idea of adjustment and the places where it felt like there might have been progress, mm-hmm. for me in particular, like, the hope of the, oh, man, there's progress in the run, were dashed pretty quickly by weeks two and three. And you're right, it's not just week three, but it's the entirety of these first few games that you've gotten. Oh, that's a great answer from the 8-3-2 when we were talking about mm-hmm. the idea of who are the guys you look at or you kind of point to as game manager quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. It was all in service of a point that Lopez was making where he was not calling C.J. Stroud a game manager. I didn't want to make that clear. Justin Fields, game manager now.
Yes.
Like he's gotten to a good place.
Somebody said Jared Goff.
Jared Goff, one of those.
You know, a guy that can be great, but not necessarily carry the team on his shoulders. And what I'm saying is I think maybe C.J. Stroud needs to be doing more of that. He's a great quarterback. Let's use it. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Another 8-3-2 hit us up, said, good morning, guys. Good morning to you as well. I haven't lost faith in the Texans, but the game reminded me a lot of the Letterman jacket game. Texans get a little early season success and start believing the press clippings. Miko needs to break his foot off if somebody's behind. Keep those boys hungry.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that we'll talk more about over the course of this, but we asked, did they eat the rat poison, right? Eat the cheese or what have you? Clint felt very confident about that. And it does feel like there is some of that mentality, I do think, is interesting. Because it felt like all of the messaging that D'Amico has, and, you know, like, it's all admirable and it's all the stuff that you love. We heard that, you know, heavy in camp, which is where you're going to hear it.
Yeah.
It does. You wonder, like, how deep of a hold did those roots take, and how actionable is that with the? Because I mean, it's good to have the messaging. How much do you put it into place? I deal with this with my little brother all the time. Like, we have these conversations all the damn time. Like, oh, you need to do this. You need to do that. These are the things that are important. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, sir. All right. In a few months, we back having the same conversation, right?
Like, exactly.
And not to say that it's to that extent, because, again, I don't want to be too alarmist with this. Like, we're early on in the season, and there's still a ton of talent, as D'Amico said, as, you know, C.J. Stroud specifically said it in his post-game availability. But especially with the offensive line, like, you see the cracks in the or I guess the difference between the actions and the way that they're going about some of these things and the messaging overall that D'Amico
said. Let me put it this way. I think this is the simplest way I can put it. And this, I guess, is a cliche. I don't know. It was absolutely a wake-up call. This was a wake-up call.
And that's
game.
What it needs to be.
And they have to wake up. You know, they can't hit the snooze alarm and say, I'll be fine. We'll be there in time. No. Like, this was a wake-up call. It was a wake-up call on Bobby Slowick, on the defensive coaching staff, whether it's Burke, D'Amico, the combination thereof, the offensive line, the focus, the mentality of the offensive line, on how they're using certain players in certain situations, how they're blocking things. Like, this is one where we got away with it. We got away with being this way, this type of a team, this comfortable with what we're doing, weeks one and week two. We got away with it. You ain't gonna get away with it all the time. Not when you step up in class. That's what I'm saying. It's not riding off the Texans.
Right.
It's not, they can't get there. It's none of that. It's like, holy moly, we just got slapped in the face. We just got a bucket of cold water poured on our heads. We better listen to this.
Yeah.
Do you feel like this is the perfect time for a wake-up call, though? Because I was thinking about this. Like, they played the Vikings last week, and they got whooped. But I still kind of feel confident, because it's not like they got whooped by the Chiefs or the Ravens, and now, like, your whole season you kind of deflated now, because you like, man, we got to go through these guys.
Well, I think part of it is,
I feel like week three is the perfect time to go through this type of stuff.
That's what I was gonna say. Timing is okay. Like there are still, you know, a lot of 14 games left. And timing is okay, but you better pay attention. And this is why I went off yesterday on Laramie Tunsil. This is why we're going to talk about some of these things today. It's like, okay, you can't just keep on keeping on, you know, because it isn't going to work.
No.
Yeah.
I think it's funny, the question of, is this the perfect time? I feel like whenever you get a loss, the spin work of it is like, man, we needed this. This is a good time to have this.
We can learn from this.
Exactly. Unless it ends right. But, I mean, ultimately, if it does provide the growth, if it does provide the change that's necessary, yeah, then it's a great time, right?
Yeah.
It's a great time regardless, right? Because ultimately, you need to get to where you need to go, and whatever has to get you there, it gets you there, right? And so the mentality of, well, this is a good time to learn this lesson, as long as you're learning it, I'm good with it, right? But I do want to acknowledge that, hey, man, if it happens early in the season, well, there's still plenty of season for us to get it fixed. If it happens late, well, you know what? We needed to get our head straight on before we get to the playoffs or what have you. So, ultimately, yeah. I think that when it comes to, like, the ceiling, they still have high potential, right? They still have the opportunity to get there. But the idea of, will they get there? I think that they, the obstacles to getting to that place have presented themselves in a way that I don't know we necessarily saw in a full or in, like, in this particular way. So I guess the answer for me is yes in a little bit of a way, but now it's time to get to work, put the grind on, and see if D'Amico, Bobby, all the principals in this can get them to that place. We're in the loop. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atatula, just getting going on a Texans Ticket Tuesday. Mind you, we'll be giving away tickets.
How about that?
In the, what was it, the noon o'clock hour, 12 o'clock hour?
Yeah, 12 o'clock
Very
hour.
Very good. Appreciate you keeping me straight there. So keep it locked here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, Astros have not clinched the AL West title just yet. They still have an opportunity to do that, but I think the much more important thing, the news on Yordan and what it could possibly mean going into the postseason. Let's talk about that next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.